All right, we back at it, Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head, man. We got the Grace Park legend joining us right now, man. I'm going to enjoy this interview. I'm already telling you right now. Huey Briss, what's going on, big dog? How you living, champ?
I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
We blessed, good, black, hey, and highly favored.
You know what's wild, bro? I feel kind of cheated a little bit in a sense because I thought, and you have one of those names where it sounds like the real name. I thought Huey Briss was the government, bro.
That's why I put the whole thing in the interview I did, because I was like, let me let everybody know I'm a human ass being. Like, my name is not Huey Briss. That's fake. Let me kill y'all Santa complex early. Cause
why Huey Briss then?
Oh, because I used to write like back in the day, and I was going by Hubris, and I used to go by LB back in the day, and the homies was telling me like, nah, you gotta change your name, bro. You are not Long Beach. As long niggas was like, as long as Snoop Dogg alive, bro.
Ain't no point in surpassing those shoes are filled already.
And then so I was writing under that name Hubris. So I was like, cuz I can't walk around calling myself Hubris. Like, I looked up the definition. I'm like, oh damn, I didn't know it was like that. I said, fuck it, I'm gonna be Huey Briss. It sounds a little more friendly.
Nah, Huey Briss is for sure a little more flyer than Hubris. But when you came up with it, when coming up with the writing aspect of it, you just wanted to go by a moniker that was separate from just a regular name. Like, what was the thought process behind the Hubris?
When I was LB, I was like Lil Bryant because my dad was Bryant, so I was Lil Bryant. So they just called me LB. So I thought I was slick, like, nigga, Long Beach, what's up?
Right.
But when it came down to thinking, I'm like, damn, I didn't want to go like too like rapper, but I didn't want to go to like when I got thick, like, oh, Greek mythology, Huey Briss. And it's like, nah, bro, like, shit sounded fly. I learned the shit after.
Yeah, straight like, up.
I'm gonna get your ass up out of here with that shit.
That's what I'm saying.
I
couldn't go by my real name, not at all. Bryant. Nah.
I mean, why you don't like Bryant?
It just sounds too like mailman or like, I don't know. It don't sound like Bryant, and with a T too. So I was like, damn, that's Kobe last name. Niggas gonna always have something to say about my name.
It's gonna be something. Yeah, it's gonna be something either way, no matter which way you flip it, bro. To be honest,
I ain't never gonna get past it.
No, but what I fuck with about your style, man, is like you said, you can tell you have a lot of thoughts when it comes to the concepts and shit that you write, right? But at the same time, you are from Long Beach, right? So there's a different element where you're gonna get people that's gonna judge you off the bat just being from Long Beach. So how do you navigate between those worlds of, you know, wanting people to hear what you got, you know, to offer, but at the same time, you know, being from a staple city like Long Beach?
I had a lot of like mentors, man. Like Vince Staples is one of my good friends. He kind of been helping me navigate and kind of stay like grounded, because that's kind of what makes Long Beach artists tight.
Yeah.
We could go anywhere in these big celebrity rooms.
Long Beach.
It'll be like, you know, like we got the weed, got the making sure everybody cool. Like, so I try to just stay grounded as possible with it, because it's like being from Long Beach already, it's like you get grounded by default because you ain't never going to be bigger than the homies. So yes. Like, let the please stop. Be yourself. You'll get there faster. So that's kind of my whole thing. Like, I never wanted to be thirsty for nobody attention being from Long Beach either. It was just kind of like, I don't know what else to rap about.
Yeah.
But what's some piece of advice that Vince has given you that's kind of like kept you in?
Worry about yourself and your family. Like, I feel like being from the West Coast and being from Long Beach, we kind of like take on other people's battles and we take on other people's shit as we go along. And it's kind of like stay in your own little bubble. Worry about you and your family. You can't help nobody till you can help yourself.
Facts.
So don't get caught up in people business. He taught me like it's so easy to get caught up in people business. You came here for some whole other shit and now you associated with people you didn't even really like rock with. Your mama ain't never even met their mama before. Like, why is you going, you know, this your career, bro. Like, treat it like it's something.
Do you think that people get caught up? Like, I mean, I don't know if you've had this experience yet, because I know you fairly, you know, new to the game as far as like participating in it, but do you think that people get caught up in thinking in romanticizing this industry, like thinking like, oh, it's this and all we boys, or oh, you said you was going to do the verse and you never get the phone call back, or.
That's the number one rule. That's how everybody get disappointed. And that's how everybody lose their steam. You ever seen a rapper get their steam going? Oh, they get their steam, a few A&Rs in their DMs, a few big rappers then tapped in. Now they waiting on this before they drop the remix, or I can't do this until so-and-so say you're going to do the video. All that is like smoke and mirrors. That's the number one thing. That's the number one reason why I'm glad I came in the game later, like at 28 now, because I could see shit for what it is. If a nigga going to send the verse back, bro, he would have sent it.
He would have sent it straight up. Now you mentioned something before in terms of like, you know, having to pass on deals or not being too thirsty for things like that, man. Talk about your mindset when things like that happen, because I feel like, you know, it's hip hop and it's the entertainment business. So it's easy to kind of get caught off with these offers from either A&Rs or even from radio, like, oh, we're going to play your shit, or just all these things that comes with the allure of being an artist. How did you not get jaded, or did you get jaded and kind of learn lessons early?
I just want to say, first and foremost, do whatever works for you. If you are watching this from an artist standpoint, if you got your uncle who work at Epic and he could get you in there and like, don't do that just because motherfuckers you look up to did it their way.
Nepotism is nothing wrong with it.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. But me personally, I just feel like from my standpoint, I'm a hip hop artist. I like samples. Labels don't like samples. I like spontaneous shows, hand over fist payments. They don't like that. They want to see where we going with that. So it's so much things that I want to get away with before I get to a point where I need them. I want to get away. I just want to kind of get away with shit before they start getting on my head. Like, oh yeah, this nigga getting away with it. But me personally, like, I don't got no malice when it comes to no labels. I have been slowed down. I will say this, labels will slow you down as an independent artist. If you do kind of have a plan and a team, I will rock with them first and see how that rock. Cause it's just a year. You got it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not gonna miss out on no label money by doing you and testing your waters. But at the same time, I do feel like without a goal, it don't matter if you got a label, if you got independent, if you got your granny inheritance, if you don't got no real goal and no real firm, like tangible goal you wanna do, like, oh, maybe I wanna buy flip houses, or maybe I want to, you know, if you don't have no entrepreneurial mindset, eventually, no matter what you do in life, it's going to run dry.
So what's the end goal for Huey Briss? When you say that, as you're getting into becoming an artist or just things, what's the things that you're like, man, this is the end goal for me?
You know, I feel like I'm a player in the game, and every player want to be a head coach. My goal is to be like the best coach, to help artists get to where they got to go, to use my influence and my likeness from over the years of me building it and being able to do, to give it to, like, start my empire and be able to actually tangibly help people. Cause I feel like people like helping people inspirationally, like in spirit.
Yeah. Like, the post on IG.
People love helping in spirit. And there's nothing wrong with that. We love all energy. But I'm really from a city where I watched a nigga really start a football team. He really actually be donating silently. So it's like people be in the city may have their own perception of that man, but it's like, yeah, your books and that little program you sent your son to, the YMCA, yeah, so you better put some respect on it. So
right.
I'm just all about the tangibility of your talents. To me, me and my homie buddy, we talked about this today. We work out together, and we talked about how it's important to really be tangible with your items, because success is so fickle. It's like, it feel good. We was just at a Diddy party. We was around so many successful people. But when it came down to like actual moves, they was looking at us like we the guys. I'm like, oh, I see what's actually going on here. They got the success. We really got the actual tangible talent. So now I'm starting to get what this industry really is. It's all about using your accolades and using what you've worked hard for in your own way. You and your team making it look good for y'all. If you got a Grammy nomination, you was just a fucking drummer on there. You better make it look sexy, because that's money.
For sure.
I always say, take advantage of your advantages. And I always tell the homies, like, you gotta, you know, definitely don't run away from it. You know what I'm saying? Lean into it and make sure that you, capital, like you said, utilize everything that's available to you, because a lot of people don't have nothing to work with.
I didn't. I'm 28. I've been rapping since 2011. I just got popping April. I just tangibly got something to show my mama.
Wow.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, look, look, like, after all that time where you put money into me, hopefully in 3 years I can give it all back to you.
And right. No, I like that. I noticed that too. A lot of in your content. I mean, I know you've posted her, but I also like the video too. And I like the relationship that you kind of describe with your mom, and you saying that, you know, your mom had you when you were 20 years old, and y'all kind of grew up together. And I think that's relatable to a lot of people where we from. You know what I'm saying? Like. Like we become like babies. They say babies having babies, right?
Oh God.
And that being said, do you think that you benefited, or you think you it hurt you having a mom that was that young, like learning as y'all, both of y'all learning as you go?
Being completely transparent with myself and y'all, man, I feel like I had a mix of both, because I definitely was the kid that got away with murder because my
mama, allegedly
my mama was so young, you know what I'm saying? She really, if my granny didn't look, it didn't happen. So it's kind of like granny was the big dog, but having my mama there that I could be like, hey mom, like I didn't have to talk to her in a certain tone. I didn't have to like dress a certain way. I didn't have to earn my mama respect. Like, you know, when you walk in the house and granny be like, put them pants up before you even talk to her.
Right.
Wash your hands, put them pants up, da da da, before we even talk. Like, my mama, I could come in there with a bullet wound. She gonna be like, what really happened?
Right.
Like, my mama was always hella cool. And fun fact, like, she, not saying, I can say this now that I'm older. She wasn't too mad when I dropped out, because I feel like she had the vision.
God.
And I feel like she saw something in me like that them other kids didn't have, because I was bad, but I was more so like, you know, the bad kids that's bad. But at the same time, it's like I'm only bad enough to where if like, oh, we going there.
I'm not stepping over that line.
Oh, I didn't know we was going there, y'all.
Oh, we being bad, bad.
Oh, man, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go buy some shoes or something. But my mom was always there, so it benefited me a lot just because I could really be myself. So now when I talk to people, it's like they always say, don't do nothing in front of people that you wouldn't do in front of your mama. Man, as long as it ain't nothing like, you know, weird, I pretty much could do whatever.
When you just brought up dropping out, right? And obviously you dropped out of school. What age do you think, or what grade do you think somebody could have stepped in and quote unquote saved you from the streets, from dropping out, from getting in trouble, whatever? What do you think the age is for that? Like, we're like in real life, where somebody could have like, pops, I know your pops was locked up, but like somebody would have stepped in and been like, hey, don't do that over there. Let me show you another way over here. What age is that?
Man, I feel like early as possible, because I was already curious. It don't even matter what I did. I was already curious at a young age. I feel like the younger, the better. If you could get on a youngin', me personally, if nigga would have caught me at like Bernie Elementary, fifth grade, I would have been a different
human. Life changing.
I wouldn't even be here right now. But yeah, fifth grade, probably like right before they hit middle school. That's when, like, as a man and on the West Coast specifically, just because it's so influential over here, I'll be thinking, I'll be tripping. It's so influential. Like, it's so influential over here, man.
I ask a lot of the homies that, like, especially people who, you know, been in the streets, then dropped out of school, whatever the case may be. What were the main reasons why you decided to not continue with your education?
Because I was stupid, and I thought everything would happen faster, because the people around me, like, I was the best of my group. Like of the MCs and everything. So everybody had these delusional dreams that we was all gonna make it, and everybody was just fake gang banging, and just, it was just so much stress weed at the time, I think. it was just a lot going on. So I had people that was like pumping that, the support in that decision.
Got it.
And I can only imagine, like, before you go do like a drive-by or something, like what's that feeling? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, definitely don't wish that upon. I was so stupid. That was just stupid, man. I wish I would have saw it all the way through just for myself. just because sometimes I'm like, damn, nigga, you really the nigga. Then he's like, nah, you not. You didn't even, you couldn't even finish that easy shit. Like,
would you go back at this point, though? I mean, you're still relatively young, bro. I mean, you wouldn't think about taking college courses just anything of that nature?
I'm going to do that just for me because it's so crazy because, like, if we talking, like, my family, like, I'm the first person in my family to even, like, have this perspective.
Wow.
Like, have a perspective that, you know, like, I have a real passport, bro. Like, that's to my family. My mama just got her passport in her 30s. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, yeah.
So, like, they thought I made it when I was on, like, No Jumper back in the day. They thought I made it when I was, like, on YouTube with a million views on a cypher. So, it's like, school is such a low bar, which isn't good. We're not saying this is good at all.
Facts.
Like, growing up where we from, school is such a low bar that it take artists like me to kind of, like, tell you why it was stupid and then like go back and then double back and show y'all like you can do it.
Just why it's cool. Yeah.
Hella cool. Like it's hella cool because you get to meet hella people. And I wish I would have, man, my network of people would have been so more dominant.
Oh, that's one of the biggest things that I tell people all the time. Cause I went to Long Beach State, right? I went to St. Anthony in Long Beach, downtown Long Beach, or whatever. And then graduated from Long Beach State. I hated school. I was not a student. I was not one of those 4.0 GPA students. I was very average, and to be perfectly honest, probably below average, to be perfectly honest. But the network of people that I met through it, you can't make that back for sure. So I like that your mindset is there, and you're like, man, if I, you know, choose to make it happen, it's because of that. And you realize the, you know, what you missed out on it. Now that path isn't for everybody. I'll be perfectly honest, but to recognize like, damn, that could have been a way for me to do what I'm doing right now as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like that tall homie that's always like, I could have went to the league.
Right.
Like, that's how I feel about college. Like, I've been telling them, like, I'm really that smart. Like, oh, I got a GPA. They're like, go back then. I'm like, that's what separates the league from college. I could do that. So, yeah, that definitely love the whole.
I want to read you something from a song called Red Fox.
Hell yeah.
Okay. It says, niggas still tripping off old shit that I said, spitting about crumbs, it was making me bread.
Mm-hmm. Niggas still tripping off of old shit that I said, black wax, some about crumbs, it was making me bread. Yeah, I definitely remember that one.
When you said that, it stood out to me just because, like, when you said niggas still tripping about old shit that I said, spitting about crumbs, it was making me bread, right? Mm-hmm. That was the bar. And I was just like, okay, I understood what you were saying, but did that come from somewhere else as well? Like, as far as like an experience?
Definitely.
Like,
definitely got stopped by my OG. That line came from, he kind of inspired that whole song. I got stopped by my OG and he was talking about some shit I did in like 2009. Like he was talking about an old song because I've been shooting at that same park forever. So he was like, oh, I remember when you came by and he was talking. He said some line that really wasn't even that tight for real. But he was just on it. And I was like, bro, like, do you not understand like where I'm at now and what I was talking about back then? Like I was talking about like county building and like, you feel me? I was still doing shows at K-Sara. Shout out to K-Sara. All my niggas was booking me back then. Niggas was booking me at on 7th and Cherry. Niggas was booking me at downtown. Niggas was booking me at Shannon's. Like, I was at all these bars back then, like, young, too. Couldn't even, you know, go in, get out type shit. A lot of the times back then, like, 2009 and shit. Like, that was wet. So it's like, that era made me who I am. You know what I'm saying? And niggas still remember them little bars, like, them little baby-ass bars. Like,
well, what I was trying to figure out was when you said spitting about crumbs, it was making me bread. You was talking about, like, your raps back then, as far as, like, you didn't look at them like, they were necessarily worth anything at that time.
Yeah, I'm very cynical when it comes to, I'm hard on myself, head, when it comes to my shit, man. Like I be feeling like shit is so trash. Like, and I be feeling like it's like little, like I'm giving them such a small portion of what really happened that I feel like I'm giving them a disservice, but I gotta remember like they didn't see it. So they don't have an expectation on like, what was actually, you know?
Now you got, and correct me if I'm wrong and if we're missing out on anything, but the projects that you do have out right now from Side Chick Files Volume 1, Black Wax, which she just pretty much borrowed the song from, Grace Park Gospel and then Grace Park Legend, which is out right now. What do you feel like the evolution of Huey Britt has been this whole time? Do you, you know, now that you kind of have this new project out there, do you, are you like, man, I see it, I feel what I'm growing into? Like, what are those things that you're looking at for yourself in terms of evolving as an artist? What's like the biggest difference that you can tell from then to now?
Definitely investing in myself, man. I was so cheap with my art back then. I thought talent was just gonna drive me to the moon, man. I'm thinking it didn't get me nowhere. Like paying for mixing, paying for mastering, paying for videos, paying for ads, paying for shit, hearing the quality of it, looking at the cover art. How can we make this cover art better? How can we make it captivating? Like, yeah. How can I not make it corny? Like, you know, like so many. How can I make it better over time? That when I got to this point, I kind of was like, this food is done. Like, if niggas don't eat this, I was at a point, real with you, I was like, if niggas don't like this, this city is pure haters. We talking like your haters. Like, if you don't like this, I put so much effort into that visual. Like, that visual, like, I sent it back so many times. Like, I had to make sure I told the story correct. There was people in that video that was like beefing. I couldn't have them in there. I sent it to my mama, my granny, like so many real people. I'll tell you the biggest difference between my first album and my last one. My first project, nobody knew I made music. No one in my family knew. None of the real ones.
Really?
No one really knew. They thought I was just playing around. You know, that cousin, that rap, whatever.
Yeah.
This project, my whole family told me congratulations.
Wow.
Like everybody, even the Samoan cousins that just, we don't even talk about.
Yeah, they like, hey, fool, yeah.
He said even the Samoan cousins.
Hey, Oos. Hey, Oos. You know, you dropped your shit, Oos. I see you.
Man, shout out my family. So definitely this project made me more confident in myself too. Like, oh yeah, if I tell the truth, it's going to work. Like, they want the truth.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to say, like, the truth, like, as much, like, man, if you watching this, man, the truth is the best fucking marketing scheme, the best product placement, the truth, nigga. Yeah. The truth, the bare truth too. Right. Even the part where you look a little crazy, that's what we want.
Right, for sure.
I agree with you. That's how I 100% agree with you. You do speak truth to power a lot, and I noticed that you very honest about your situation with your pops. Mm-hmm. And I that's commendable, because a lot of people aren't transparent with that. And then also fatherhood as a whole for you, right? I know Chuck want to talk about that, but as far as your dad specifically, damn.
So that's what's up.
As far as your dad specifically though, because I remember you talked about like him being in the streets and him being incarcerated most of your life or whatever. Did he ever, you know, dabble into the music or?
Ever. My dad is a purebred G. Like, the nigga was born in the 70s, born in 1970, grew up in the 80s. Daddy was, his daddy was already raised kids. He was the last one, so he was the runt. He was the only one that was allowed to go outside late, play football, met his hood playing football. Typical hood, like that. I'm talking from he lived just the hood nigga dream. Like, met my mama, went to jail, got out. She took him back. Like, nigga, what the? Like, nigga, what? So it's kind of like my dad was just the dude that just really just was like my street smarts. I didn't have a dad that was like, how do you feel today? My dad was more like, nigga, you got condoms, nigga, you good? Like, nigga, you straight? Like, them niggas fucking with you? Like, your mama good? She still sexy? Okay.
For sure.
Real like hood nigga. And my mama's like an eclectic black woman, like could have been a scholar till she met my daddy, like, all, you know what I'm saying? So I had the best of both worlds. Like, I never had roaches in the house, but at the same time, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like we had stolen cable. Like, so it was like, I was like,
world, yeah. It was like, so when you say eclectic, are we talking Janae Aiko, we talking Erykah Badu?
My mama was more like into everything. Like, she didn't see, like, she was a hood chick. She's a hood chick. I'm telling you, like, she don't shit. She gonna hate that. But she into everything. Like, sometimes she'll just be into flowers. I'm like, damn, you know, we learning about flowers now. Okay. Sometimes, you know, so she just had like a broad spectrum of shit she was into. And like, I feel like if she would have never met my dad, she could have explored that into.
But then you wouldn't be here. So, I mean, that's the both worlds.
So when your pops came home, what was something that what was something that he, that both you showed him and he showed you?
Man, he showed me that silence is golden. Silence in situations is just golden. Like, that nigga just was so quiet and smooth. And it seemed like he know when to say stuff. He just always know when to say stuff, when to do stuff. And what I learned from him, man, Netflix, he didn't even know what Netflix was, man.
He showed him Netflix.
Oh my God. Look, I put it on the shit, the login, and I left. And he called me like, it's cool. Like, I don't got to pay. I'm like, no, you good. Like, you good. Like,
he said, it's cool. It ain't like, Blockbuster. Cool. Like, it ain't like, Blockbuster.
I'm like, go watch whatever you want, whenever you want. You good.
Hey, so you mentioned something, I believe it was in a documentary, how, you know, your dad, you met him at three, right? And yeah. how he hid a lot of hid things from you, right?
He hated it.
So now being a father, are there things that you hide from your daughter as well? Like, kind of like in that same sentiment of like, you know, I want to make sure that she knows what's going on, but there's certain things I don't want her to know about.
Like, my dad is talented. If any talent that my dad ever had, it was hiding his cribbing. That nigga knew how to. Really? Boy, my granny and them would come around. That nigga turn around with a bloody fist, and I'm like, nigga, how did you just switch into gentleman that quick? Yeah. And that's why I'm like, oh, these are some real gang members. Like, they like, they do this different. Like, yeah. They respectful with it. But man, I feel like my dad was living such a life, hiding, running from demons, running from so much shit that I could live this free, that I don't gotta hide from my daughter. I'm a rapper, bro. That's it. I wish I did something else. I just rap. You know how fucking smart I gotta be and how much shit I have to comprehend just to break the wall down that I'm a rapper? Like, damn, this nigga, okay, cool. Like, he ain't just one of them. Like, God, y'all done fucked it up for me so bad. I finally got it. I came in here now. I'm like, damn, I don't even gotta hide. Your daddy a rapper. Right. Like, she looks on, she's gonna be on TikTok. Like, well, she's definitely not one of these rappers. So it's how we get this house.
What dad advice would you give to other fathers out there? You know what I'm saying? Being a father yourself, like, what advice to other fathers would you give out there just from based off of your experience?
If you already a dad, man, then and you there, you already pretty much doing 90% of the work, for real. You gotta just be there, man, and make sure what you ingesting, not everything you ingest gotta go into your kid. Like, you know how motherfuckers be like, well, just cause my daddy did me like that. Like, everything ain't gotta go to her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she don't gotta know everything about you either.
Yeah.
Like, everything can be discovered.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, that's the best part about being a father. You discovering, oh, wow, this is what my daddy went through. This is what my mama went through. Wow, that's why I used to get my ass whooped for doing that. Wow. And then it slap you and you want to call them and then they do you how you used to do them. Oh, beep. Nope, I call my mama. Like,
not now.
I'm in Miami. What?
What you doing out there?
Well, I'm at home with a kid. Wow.
So is your daughter, is that your only child?
Yeah, for now.
Okay.
I'm trying to have a lot, though.
You want to have the whole kick and boodle, huh?
I'm trying to boost it.
You're a fool. Hey, don't say that. Oh, you'll definitely be out there. Wow.
Good luck with that. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, this conversation get a little too fertile for me. But is there anybody that's tapped in with you that surprised you or that was like, you know, fulfilling for you?
Daddy.
I can't hear you.
Daddy. You hear me? Hold on. Let me make sure.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I said that boy Diddy tapped in.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
What did he shot you a DM? He said it's love or what?
Nah, yeah, he did that. But it was a weird day. All right, let me tell y'all this day. So whatever, I don't know what the fuck happened. Revo posted me on Instagram. I don't know. I really don't know how they even found my shit, honestly. Revo posted that shit. Snoop commented on it. So he put comment, then followed me, then DM me. It was like, you going in, nephew. I'm like, fuck, Snoop just hit me. So I'm at a photo shoot, screaming, everybody screaming. I'm like, damn, it can't get no better than this. I leave in the Benz with the homie. I'm going up, playing music, smoking. We like, yeah, we about to go get some food. Cool. I'm like, cool, this my day. Nigga, Snoop tapped in. Yeah, I'm going to go to the compound. Yeah, all that. Did he follow me?
What?
The homie dropped me off and was like, yeah, bro, you getting too, you out of here. Like, I'm gonna hit you. The nigga tapped in maybe like 4 days. He followed me for a minute, was just watching stories for a minute. Shout out Puff too, man. That part was fun. But we was going up. This nigga motherfucking, I went to a party with the homies, with Buddy, Jazz, Cartier, Cousin Stiz, the homie Cedric. It was so many people there. And then Diddy, I'm asleep. I wake up the next morning, Diddy hit me, say, when I'm partying with the guys, what's up? I'm like, oh, Diddy, this is crazy. Like, bro,
yeah.
I'm from Long Beach, bro. Literally, he fucked my whole day up, cuz, like, and now he just be liking shit. Like, it's weird. I just went to
hey, he's still, and you can shit. You can tell he's still processing this right now. He's like, yo, this nigga, I was just at a party with this nigga the other day.
I was just with Quincy. Shout out to Quincy and then yeah. Shout out to Arden, man. It was his birthday. Happy birthday to him. But nah, man, now we just tapped in with his whole circle somehow.
Like, that's wild. There's a line Pac said in the interview. He was like, man, I have famous friends now. Just him marveling over that concept is kind of what I see right now. Like the fact that, you know, your talents got you to this point where people are recognizing you now. And it's still like, you know, you're like, wow, this is still new for me. You understand?
I want to say on the record too, I want to rap with Russ.
I was just about to ask you that.
Russ watched my stories for a minute, but I'm gonna just go out and say it, Russ. I want to rap with you, bro. I think you hard as fuck. I think your whole mentality is hard. I think what you stand for is tight, and niggas be scared to rap with you, I feel like. So I'm gonna say it.
There you go.
On the record,
that's
man.
It right there.
That's a PSA to Russ.
Boom.
It is.
Hey, it's gonna happen too.
Yo, for sure.
I fuck with Russ, bro. Russ is a real one. I like his get down, bro. And I love it.
If I could get to that level, I'll be all right.
Now we can't talk about Huey Briss without talking about Nico Beats, man. Talk about how you guys linked up, man. I feel like you guys' chemistry, your energy, and what he brings to the table as far as sonically for you is out of this world, man. So how did that relationship build?
Yeah, we're going to go on a record. We're going to go again on record and say if it wasn't for Nico, I probably wouldn't even be here. You wouldn't even know how I sounded because I was so insecure about rapping on people's shit all the time. And Nico kind of saved me. For me, he got me stopped thinking so much. Motherfucker, stay with beats. His daddy, a legend, DJ Baboon from Dilated. So it's like, nice. He don't make music from the same vein as another producer. He not worried about a placement. He not worried about, he don't care. He just like, yo, bro, this sound good to you. Cool. How you feeling? Like, and yeah, definitely. Man, that's a good dude. That producers, man.
Are you hands-on when it comes to the production as well, or do you just let him cook and just kind of just rap over the shit? Like, what's the process like when you're actually creating the music?
I'm gonna come clean. Lately, he's been in his bag. So lately, I've just been like G Perico got one. And when he came over there, he just knocked that beat out like 5 minutes before G came. And I was just very impressed with my guy. Like, I was, you know, he was just like, this is my homie. Like,
yeah,
how to beat that quick. Like, damn, I didn't know you had that. But you don't really know a nigga till you're under pressure in any situation. So he showed his ass in that one. So I'm proud that that's my nigga, man. I'm excited to see what he do.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's a hidden talent that Huey Briss has that people may not know that you have?
I skate for real, like road on wheels, for real.
Word.
Like for real.
Skateboard or skate? Actually skate.
Roller skate.
AD
roller
skate. Road on wheels, moonlight. Come on, name it. Wow. Fountain Valley. Where we at?
So like you can dance and skate backwards and like. You do the splits?
Listen, as good as I rap is as good as I skate.
You do the splits?
I don't do the splits.
He's like, you're not gonna do that to me.
I'm gonna say that to Sweetwater and all them, but nah, I definitely love skating more than anything. That was my first love. I used to go to Rodham Worlds. I used to stay in the fucking West Adams 20s with the homie Granny just to fucking be close enough to go to Rodham Worlds. Like, used to get banged on at that store right there on Normandy and Adams. Y'all know. Y'all used to bang on me and be like, there go that Long Beach nigga.
Yo, so with you know, speaking of the talents and things of that nature, you mentioned being a rapper, right? Prior to rapping, though, what was it that were you in, had any other interests with? Like, if rapping wasn't on the table, what would it be that Huey would be doing these days?
I'm not going to say on air, but I don't think I would be in such a great mental.
There we go. I'll take that.
I wouldn't be in a good mental place without music. I feel like music is a definite escape for people that have the talent.
Do you think that, I'll leave that right there, but do you think that, do you think that people think that Long Beach is sweet when it comes to, you know how like people always mention, like, they never mention Long Beach with any really real fortitude when they talking about, oh, this place and that place and this place. I'm not going to say no cities, but you know what I'm saying.
I feel like Long Beach just got that rep because at one point we just started not giving a fuck. We were so far over there. We said, fuck it, nigga, dye your hair, nigga. Ain't nobody going to see that shit anyway.
Yeah.
You like, fuck it, nigga.
That's some real shit. Like,
get the nose ring. But I feel like when the Inglewood cousin came through, he was like, nigga, take that weird shit off. Nigga, what the fuck is you doing, nigga? What the fuck is you with this goddamn skateboard, nigga?
Yo, you know what's funny about that is I was talking to one of the homies, and I remember when the transition started to happen a little bit, and you know, the Long Beach always been, to white people, it's a great place to raise a family. To me, I'm like, nigga, that's still Long Beach. Like, at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? So I remember, like, talking to one of the homies, and they were like, bro, I ain't gonna say who and all that, but he was like, bro, them dudes with them hair dudes and them skinny jeans will tear your head off, bro. You better leave them alone. Stop playing with
it. Been so many descriptions that I've heard, like, who shot at you, bro? Yeah, some nigga with... Nigga with the skateboard and I don't know, nigga had like an eyebrow ring or something, bro. Like, I can't explain it, but the nigga pulled out on me at the gas station. I'm like, at the gas station? What was you doing at the gas station? Yeah, nigga, you don't even got a car, bro. Bro, like, what's going on? Like, oh yeah, Long Beach is definitely for that. But
I always wanted to get some inside perspective on that, because I talk to Vince often too, and it's always interesting to hear different perspectives.
Yeah. You ask Vince, he got probably another 100 answers with in-depth hood facts, and he's an encyclopedia. Me personally, I just know I was so far away from the bullshit. We had the cousins that lived by Centennial, so we knew, like, okay, like, they're aggressive.
Yeah.
We cool. We like to fight, but our competition was like a little bit like lightweight compared to them. It's like those guys was fighting dudes fresh out the county and shit in high school. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, goddamn, guys, we're just trying to skateboard and maybe get a girl.
Oh, man. Yeah, one fun fact about Huey Briss that I learned while listening to your music, man, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it true that the way you were disciplined was by doing karate?
How the fuck did you know that? This nigga,
I'm on my Narwhal shit right now.
Yeah, my grandpa... Funny, it's in a Wrigley district of Long Beach. I'm trying to remember the street.
In the Rigs?
In the Rig. This is how cold my grandpa was. This nigga had like an appliance shop next door to a dojo. What type of nigga is you?
What?
How is that? A dojo appliance shop. He'll fix your vacuum and he'll like, how you
beat in your
a
ass. Dojo?
Like, goddamn, nigga. So I used to get, whoopings wasn't working. My mama was like, this ain't working. And she only called my grandpa when it's like,
bad.
Party. This nigga Muslim and shit. Yeah, we'll talk
about that. A whole different story, yeah.
That nigga different. But nigga, that nigga used to make me put weights on my ankles and on my arms. This is torture now, think about it. And run like this. With weights, and then I would have to TP so my body, and then just your ankles could go up.
Wait, how old were you?
Nigga, a kid.
No, under
10.
You weren't even double digits.
No, I was doing, I think I stole some Pokemon cards. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I might have stolen some Pokemon cards, and my mama found out and was like, yeah, that's the last straw, nigga. Ooh, I came home crying like a motherfucker. I remember that day. Yeah, that was worse than a whooping. I'd take the belt any day than karate.
Got you. Nah, I just feel like it. And for the record, it was in your music. You actually rapped.
Nah.
I was like, So, okay, before we close out, because there's a couple of things we want to make sure we hit on, and I want to make sure that you get out everything that you want to make sure we talk about as well. But we do something called curbside confessions, right? Crazy stories as a driver, as an Uber. Have you ever had any, like, any wild Postmate stories or Uber Eats or even in the Uber crazy stories?
I think the craziest one, not that crazy, like I got in a car accident with the Uber driver and I think bro wanted to hit and run. I think he would have did it if I wasn't in the car.
He had to second guess it like, damn, I got a witness.
For 2 seconds, bro really forgot I was in the whip. And like, he looked like, you know, when you hear, you know, when a car kind of older, so it like got to pick up before it really do its thing.
Yeah,
bro was about to pick up. You could feel it. And then the other car cut him off. Like, where you going, bitch?
Like, nah, you ain't.
I'm like, oh shit, this is crazy. I'm like, oh, call another Uber.
Nah, that is for sure a curbside confession.
Man, that was weird.
Now, since you're in the manifesting and speaking things to existence as well, man, what's one thing the year can't end without Huey Briss doing what?
Man, proving myself right, man. I knew back then, nigga, I had some shit. And the shit I had was like a different shit than the mother shit them dogs are shitting out. So I was like, I definitely want to prove myself right this year. But to the more tangible aspect, you know, probably, you know, the 300 person capacity show, hard ticket. Want to see if we can knock that out maybe by December. Get some steam rolling on this deluxe. The deluxe coming out real. I think it's deluxe coming out July. BG Perico, Buddy Kent, Lord Apex. We trying to get Larry June on there, but that's about it. Really, just trying to sell out. Show. I really want to be a hard ticket act.
Yeah.
I want to do whatever it takes to be a hard ticket act. Whatever it takes. Promo runs, signing fucking baby hands. I don't care. I want people at some shows having experiences.
Now, while things are slowly opening back up, so we're well on our way to get back to that, man. Did 2020 have a significant impact on your life? You know, I know, I'm sure was your daughter born in 2020?
Nah, she two. So she.
Oh,
she
okay. Was, I got you.
She was already booming, but definitely stopped my tours. I was on tour with Sango. Oh my God, I was living life. I was on tour with Sango. I had a show booked in Camden, London. I'd never been to London. I was like, damn, this is crazy. Booked, paid for. They paid me ahead of time, too.
Wow.
Front and back end. I was like, oh, my God. And I hadn't dropped a record since 2018. So that was teaching me, like, oh, like, you still in demand in other places. So I was starting to learn about the
business
circuit.
Yeah.
And
COVID. Pandemic.
Boom.
Hey, can you send the money back?
You're like, fuck.
Nah, this deposit is non-refundable, bro.
Oh, man.
Now I know.
What's one of the main things that you know, obviously everybody went through their years in different ways. 2020 hit people differently, right? What's one thing that you did learn from going through that shutdown and kind of locking in?
Man, I just learned that repetition really is key. I'm really a writer. Like when I had downtime, I was writing. I feel like the only reason why I wasn't writing all the time is because shit was so popping everywhere that I couldn't really stop and just be like, okay, life is really tight right now. Let me really get in. Like, nah, like I had time to sit down and really process it. And like, what am I doing? Like, what am I writing about? Not what am I saying? Who am I saying it to? Like, who's going to connect to this? Even though I never would have expected the people that connected to my shit to connect to it, but that's not for me to do. That's up to them. But yeah, man, just really just focusing in on my writing, man. Really, you know, like all the shit is cool. The fashion is cool. Dressing nice is cool. Working out, all that shit is cool. Power to you. But if you a rapper, you on them raps.
Yeah, rap. Yeah, that's what it's about.
So I got pages of raps now. I'm ready. Any nigga.
One question I have, and I'll end it with this, unless Head has something else. We talked about Long Beach, obviously filling the shoes of Snoop Dogg, and you obviously adamant about like, bro, I'm not even tripping off of that, right? So would you rather be in this business from a city like Long Beach where, you know, the Snoop Doggs and whoever, right, are obviously paid that lane, or would you rather be from somewhere else that nobody has any attachment towards, right, and try to build that city or that story up? I guess I'm asking, like, you're able to use the influence of that to pave your own lane and do your own thing. But there's other people that, let's just say North Dakota, right? If they're trying to figure out how to create their own story. Is there, I don't know if there's a way of even asking this.
Is there a preference? Would I rather get it from the mud from straight from Maine? Yeah, my nigga, first rapper from Maine. What's up? Yeah, this is how we talk. This is how we look. This is our identity.
Right.
I created this identity.
Fact.
And y'all gonna follow me or come with a preconceived notion because they already know Snoop and they already assume I smoke weed, which I do. They assume my gangbang, which I do. They assume that I'm already one a lowrider, which I do.
Right. It's like, so, there's some stereotypes there, but you know.
I fit every stereotype but gangbanging. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'd rather be from Long Beach any day, man. Long Beach is such a fly city, man. Ain't no city like it's a melting pot. I grew up with so many different friends. We never think about Snoop Dogg when we in the city, man. We having fun.
Right, right.
We having, it's so much shit. Long Beach is still fun. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's boring for me now because the shit I like to do is a little more Soho House than Queso Rock. But, you know what I'm saying? I do really appreciate the ghetto-ness in that city. That's a unique ghetto. Because the niggas, some of them niggas really didn't grow up that bad. Mm-hmm. You get me? Some of their mamas were doctors.
For sure, for sure.
The new complex is real in my city, for real.
Yeah, man.
For real.
Man, Huey Brist, man, this is a phenomenal conversation, man. The first of many, I feel like, man, I'm glad we were able to have this conversation, bro. But is there anything that you want the people to know that we haven't touched on yet? Obviously, Grace Park Legend out right now for the folks that want to, you know, stream it, support it, and check out the videos and everything.
Man, I just want more confident fans. I don't want fans DMing me, asking me, what should I do? I want a fan to tell me what I'm doing. Like, hey, nigga, you need to be doing this if you want to get popping. I wish a fan would have told me 4 years ago, make a TikTok. Like, be more of a supporting fan. Supporting your artist is not just like buying my shit. That's cool. Tell another artist that you think I'll sound good with, just DM him. Hey, you should work with him. Put me on people radar. Do the real shit, because that I don't need no depressed ass fans, man.
To be honest,
it's cool. I love y'all, but God, y'all be in my DM so.
Hey, hey, bro. To be honest, though, you probably helping them more than you even realize, too. And that's the gift and the curse of this. Is like, you're gonna have to take on some of that, but the music that you are putting out there, so many people can relate to it and they feel like they know you. They feel like you the homie because of with the pain that you're pouring into your music as well. So take it with a grain of salt. I know what you mean, but sometimes people might take it as like, damn, you don't fuck. I get what you mean.
You
impacting people on a different wavelength now, especially now you got more attention. Mm-hmm. It's you gonna have, and I'm sure you've already gotten the DMs and the messages already of people telling you how you've already changed their lives as of right now. It's gonna be happening tenfold, bro. Straight up.
Mm-hmm. I thank God for it, man. It could have went another way.
Man, but we appreciate you, man, for having this conversation, and we look forward to the next one, bro.
I appreciate y'all, man. Yeah. Thank both of y'all, head, Chuck, for real, man. This is the beginning, man. Come on.
And then when they let people come up in here, we want to hear some real live raps. Grace Park Legend, you know what I'm saying? The one and only Huey Brist, homegrown radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head.
Homegrown. Catch y'all next time, man.